Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. I'm so happy to have on the phone with us today Kathy McLear. She is the State Director for ARP Minnesota, and she is here to talk about the voting process. ARP, and she will tell you, is a nonpartisan and a nonprofit, and they are an organization that really does want to just help educate seniors, I would assume, to make some good decisions. First of all, Kathy, really nice to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mo.
Thank you so much for calling in today. So, Kathy, before we went on the air, I was telling you that a friend of mine for my birthday last year gave me an ARP membership, which I have to be really honest, I was not offended. What was the word? I groaned. It was kind of like when somebody gives you Geritol or something for a birthday gift. But I'm so happy I have my ARP membership. I get magazines, I get updates, I get a lot of great information. Talk about ARP.
Yeah, well, Mo, I'm so glad that you are finding some benefit in having that membership. And, you know, we really are an organization for people who have birthdays, because once you turn 50, we find you and you get that great invitation to join.
Kathy, how do you find me?
We have our ways.
You have your ways. Okay.
But you're right. We have our information that we provide. You know, we really pride ourselves in providing information and resources for people who are 50 and older, whether that's information on achieving financial security, information on healthcare, information on just getting the most out of life and how to enjoy life. Of course, folks really appreciate and enjoy our benefits and our discounts. But really at the state level, what we do for our members who are 50 plus, we do state and federal and in some cases local advocacy. So working on issues like livable communities, making communities stronger by making streets safer, more walkable, making sure that people have appropriate housing, access to services that they need. The other way that we do that is through, again, our education and information. We do a number of community-based events. We support different events in the Twin Cities and across the state, giving people opportunities to socialize and engage in their community in a meaningful way. And the other way we help our folks is through volunteer engagement, giving people meaningful ways to give back, whether it's volunteering through AARP or connecting with some of those community partners so that you can give back to your community in a way that matters to you. So we're really focused on the issues that matter to the 50 plus and their families. We have a saying at AARP that what's good for someone who's 80 is likely good for someone who's 8. And so everything that we work on is really geared towards those issues.
And AARP, for people that might not know what the acronym stands for, is what?
Well, you know, when we were founded more than 60 years ago, it was the American Association for Retired Persons. And then many years ago, it became pretty clear that at the age of 50, which is the age of membership, people weren't retired. I'm nearing the age of 50, and I don't have any intention of stopping work anytime in the near future. And so it became pretty clear to us that what we did was not just for people who were retired, but for, you know, people who are 50 and older, whether they were still in their working years or whether they had moved on to their what's next. And so we are simply now just AARP.
Well, I love that. So now I guess I'm not a retired person myself either, but I certainly am in enjoying the very many benefits of AARP. And I have to give a shout out to your publication. Is it, how often does it come? Does it come once a month or?
Yeah, so we have our the AARP, the magazine, and then we also have the AARP Bulletin, which has 10 issues a year and really world-class publications. You know, I think that's one of the great things about membership. So when you pay your membership fee, which is very small, I believe it's $16 a year, if you get nothing else out of AARP, you still get that magazine and the bulletin. But in addition to that, you have a staff here in Minnesota, again, working on those really important advocacy issues, providing resources and information locally, and those volunteer opportunities as well. So it really is value for your membership.
So Kathy, I know that you mentioned before we went on the air also that ARP is nonpartisan and it is a nonprofit, but yet you do get into politics in that you want to be able to help people with the whole voting process. So there are some things that have changed this year in terms of the voting process. Can you tell our listeners about that, please?
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that we are a nonpartisan organization. So we are the nation's largest nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. So what does that mean? We don't endorse candidates and we don't contribute to political campaigns. Really what we do is raise the issues that matter most to those who are 50 plus. And so we know that through some of our surveys. We know that from our interactions with our members to really find out what those issues are and why those issues are important. So rather than talking about which candidate somebody should vote for, we really ask candidates to propose solutions to address some of the challenges that are facing those voters 50 plus. Things like higher inflation, increasing prices, retirement savings in crisis, the cost of prescription drugs, again, all of those things that affect you living in your community. And so we talk about issues. We don't talk about who to vote for. We just give you the information and then let you decide for yourself where you stand on that issue and then decide which candidate fits your stance. And so, yeah, that nonpartisan piece is really, really important.
So what has changed this year in terms of voting?
So in Minnesota, we're fortunate virtually nothing has changed for voters in Minnesota. There are a couple minor things to be thinking about. So with congressional redistricting, some of those district boundaries may have changed. So what that means is when you go to the polling place, you might have different candidates on your ballot than maybe you were expecting, or the location of your polling place may have changed. So it's really important to make sure you know where to go when you vote. And then a couple of other minor changes. So, of course, in the 2020 election, we were well in the middle of the pandemic. And so a couple of things were adjusted for voters in the 2020 election where you didn't have to have a witness signature from a notary or another registered voter if you were an absentee ballot voter. And your ballot had to be postmarked by 8 p.m. on election day in order to be counted. So now we're back to business as usual when it comes to voting. And so you do need to have, for the 2022 election, if you vote absentee by mail, you do have to have that witness signature from a notary or another registered voter, and your ballot has to be received by 8 p.m. on election day. So probably not a good idea to mail it the day before election day because it might not get there through the Postal Service. So if you plan on mailing that absentee ballot, you're going to want to make sure you give it maybe a good, 5 days to get there. Otherwise, if you held on to your ballot and you're afraid it's not going to make it there by election day to make sure it's counted, you can also vote in person. You can just not submit your absentee ballot and you can vote in person on election day, or you can drop that absentee ballot off at your county election office if you choose to do that.
That's great information and good reminders for people. Is everyone in the state of Minnesota going to be participating in a primary, or is that just certain areas?
Yeah, so you can vote in the primary election on August 9th if you are a registered voter, and you don't have to be affiliated with either party. You don't have to choose a party to affiliate when you register to vote, so you get to choose which primary you would like to participate in, but as a reminder, you can only vote in one party's primary, so if you can't vote in both, only one primary election.
And that is an election coming up. And then if people are not registered yet, do they still have time to do that?
So the last day to register online or by mail was July 19th. But the great thing about Minnesota is you can register to vote on election day. And so there's a couple things that you have to do. You have to make sure that you have some sort of a valid ID, such as a Minnesota driver's license or a state-issued ID. And if you don't have that, you have to have a U.S. passport, a military ID, or maybe an in-school ID, as well as maybe a bill or a bank statement or a lease that confirms your name or address.
And then you can actually register the same day.
You can register the same day.
So voting is open when, though, for the primary?
Yeah, so the primary election day, if you choose to vote in person, is August 9th, but early voting has already opened. And so if you wanted to receive an absentee ballot and you requested that through the Secretary of State's website, they started sending those absentee ballots out on June 24th. And so, again, you can either vote absentee, you could also vote early in person, and so you can cast that absentee ballot early and in person at your county election office. And that started June 24th as well through August 8th, and that's for the primaries. If you want to do that for the general election coming up in November, that early voting starts September 23rd through November 7th for the general election. And then, of course, you can always vote in person on Election Day, so August 9th for the primaries or Tuesday, November 8th for the general election. And in most of the state, the polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. But if you have questions about that, certainly reach out to your county elections office, or you can look on the Secretary of State's website to find out more about that.
Kathy, also, I know that different age groups have different things that are important to them in each election. And you obviously are advocating for older Americans, those over 50. What are some of the things that are important to the older population?
Mo, I'm so glad that you asked that. So Americans 50 plus are really the nation's most powerful voters, and they are going to be the deciders in the 2022 election. And AERP is fighting very hard to make sure that voters 50 plus have their voices heard on these really important issues that matter, you know, especially when you're talking about things like rising prices and inflation, people who are struggling to pay for groceries and gas, or still dealing with this pandemic. And of course, retirement savings are in crisis. So things like protecting and strengthening Social Security benefits, we know that that is such an important benefit to older individuals. Urging Congress to protect and improve Medicare benefits. The cost of prescription drugs, I don't know if you know this, Mo, but people in America pay three times what people in other countries pay for the same medications. And AERP just, and our members, this is an issue that just across the board people are so concerned about. So addressing the cost of prescription drugs. We also know that here in Minnesota, we have had a workforce crisis within our long-term care delivery service. So fighting for better wages and benefits for those individuals who are taking care of our loved ones who might live in a nursing home. But we also know that family caregivers really are the backbone of our long-term care system. So in Minnesota, we have roughly 600,000 family caregivers who are providing unpaid care to their loved ones. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a sibling or a cousin or even a neighbor. And we know that value of care that those folks provide is roughly $7.8 billion in unpaid care.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we know that support, tremendous, tremendous amount. And so often those folks who are providing care, they may not have enough leave through their job. They may not have the ability to take off work to care for those individuals without really risking their own financial security. And so, you know, we want the candidates to really propose solutions to provide some support for family caregivers. We want the candidates to address the cost of prescription drugs. And again, we talked about this before, but making our communities stronger. So here's a really interesting thing, Mo. I don't know if you know this either, but for the first time in 2020, it was the first time that adults over the age of 65 outnumbered school children in Minnesota.
Wow.
And so we want candidates to make sure that they are prepared to take action and to take make sure that Minnesota is really ready for that huge demographic shift. And so as folks go to the polls, again, those voters 50 and older are so powerful. You know, again, AERP is not telling you who to vote for. We're just telling you that these are issues that are really important to the 50 plus, and you should be asking your candidates how they plan to address those particular issues. And then use your voice, go to the polls and vote accordingly.
So how do you flesh out these with candidates, these issues? Do you do advocacy?
We do a lot with that. And so, you know, we encourage our members and our volunteers, if you have an opportunity to go to a candidate forum. So, for example, we'll be down at FarmFest over in Redwood Falls. We'll be there, you know, asking those questions of the candidates. We encourage folks, you know, maybe you have a chance to be on a telephone town hall with one of the candidates, or, maybe a staffer from a campaign knocks on your door. We want voters to be informed, and we want them to be asking those questions, asking, how will this candidate make my community more livable? How will this candidate address the cost of prescription drugs? Or how will this candidate support family caregivers? And so by asking those questions, you know, being very visible and you know, going to those candidate forums, having those opportunities to talk with candidates and asking those questions is just really, really important to make sure that those issues are top of mind with the candidates. You know, and then certainly once those folks are elected, you know, we have to hold them accountable. We have to remind them of what they talked about, how they were going to solve these challenges once they're in office, and really hold them to it.
Do you think the younger generation understands the importance of voting?
I think they do. I have two college-age kids, and I've been really impressed at how active they've been in the political process and how much they're paying attention. But I think, you know, in addition to that, folks who are 50 plus, because they have been voting for years, you know, Minnesota has historically high voter turnout. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in that category, that 50 plus category, and you know some young folks, let's talk about this, because, you know, we want Social Security to be around for future generations, and we need Medicare to be around for future generations. And it's really important to have those conversations very early as those young people are getting politically active, so that they understand what's at stake and that they're paying attention to these issues as well. Because, you know, a young voter, you know, may have to be a family caregiver for their parents or an older loved one someday. You know, as we age, it's pretty inevitable that we're going to have to take prescription drugs at some point. And so being concerned about those particular issues as you're entering kind of your political activity age, I think that's a really important way to stay involved, get informed, and use your voice to make a difference.
Kathy, I have learned so much. I have even more respect for ARP. I'm going to renew on my own dollar my membership.
Well, we appreciate that. And the good thing is, Mo, you have me working for you every day.
I didn't even know that, Kathy. That's so great. I just thought I got discounts here and there, and I enjoyed your periodicals that come out. Kathy, this was so wonderful. Thank you so much. Please stay in touch with us, because I know that ARP does many things behind the scenes, and this is really, really great information. And you're right, people just need to learn more and get involved and, you know, educate themselves. We want to thank our guest today, Kathy McLear. She is the state director for ARP Minnesota, and we really appreciate her time and her insights on things. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.